Welcome to the first episode of Just Roll With It. This month we're going to be playing Aegon with a great friend of us and the show, who I feel is better qualified to introduce themselves than I am. So, Saint?
Hi everybody, my name is Saintgard. I use he, any pronouns. I am a game designer, mostly of Forge in the Dark games, as well as a Twitch variety streamer and voice actor.
All right. How long have you been doing game design?
Game design has been a fairly recent thing in the grand scheme of things. I started designing my first homebrew material for D&D 5th edition probably about, I would say, 3 years ago at this point. I started doing serious game design, by which I mean actually designing
not
my own game.
Not D&D game design, yeah.
Not doing homebrew for 5th edition, but actually being hacking full games and such, probably in 2019, so 2 years ago. My first game that I started really making that I actually made some significant progress on was Public City by Night, which is a Forge in the Dark game set in the Legend of Korra universe, which I, at this point, am still working on.
You really like Forge in the Dark, huh?
yeah.
I've been playing that one for a while, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Or Blades in the Dark, I guess.
I actually haven't played that much Blades itself. Most of my play experience with Forge in the Dark games is Scum and Villainy. But I was first introduced to Blades back with Roleplay Blades and with the Blood Letters actual plays, which was probably back in 2016 at this point. And I love the system. I love the way it does fictional positioning. I love the way that it everything interacts in the game, as well as how well-written it is. John Harper does a very good job at making this game both accessible and fun to play, which I think we're going to also see with Aegon.
I was about to say, are you talking about Blades or Aegon?
Both. I will
Aegon
just say...
Aegon was so well-written.
I can go on a bit about John Harper for sure, because he, if nothing else, he is a master of layout design and graphic design, and that's something I'm very jealous about. But I also love what he's done with his games, and I think we're going to see that today.
Let's just jump right into it. Let's jump into playing Aegon. Let's go around and introduce our characters first, just so people know who the cast is. Corey?
All right. I will be playing the Flame-Hearted Arete, Scion of Ares. Their pronouns are she, they, and their honored god is Dionysus, who we specially created for this game, because this criminally does not have Dionysus as one of the divine favors.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit insane that they don't have him.
Insane.
God of madness.
Yes, we got it.
It's funny. next is Kelsey.
Okay. I will be playing Clefairide Isadora, who is a scion of Aphrodite, and pronouns are she, her, and her favorite god is Artemis, as anyone who knows me will be completely unsurprised to hear.
All right. And last but not least,
I will be playing today Iron-Minded Corinna, scion of Hippocrates. Her pronouns are she, her, honored of Hephaestus, god of the forge and ingenuity.
So we made our characters off stream because we figured that was a little bit easier to just jump around with ideas. And who knows? Maybe we'll give a peek into what was going through our mentalities later. But I didn't think it was that important to the show. What we didn't do was determining who the leader is. The leader is important because the leader in each island gets the final say in how you deal with challenges, and they're also in charge of determining the will of the gods. Determining the leader is pretty simple. I put you through a basic trial. We all roll to see who does the best against it, and winner is the leader. While traveling through the mist, looking for where next to claim glory, a low rumble is heard from overhead. Before you have a chance to react, the mist darkens and a storm whips up overhead out of seemingly nowhere, sending the ship and crew into utter chaos. What do the three of you do?
Well, Flameheart Arite immediately runs to the steering wheel and pulls it out of whatever wave we are being caught in, trying to make it go exactly where we need it to go.
Iron-minded Corinna is going to, since we're in the storm, and the most dangerous part of any storm, as any good sailor knows, is the damage that it can do to all of the rigging and other materials that are on the ship. So she is going to, with her mighty hammer, put everything into place. Everything will be battened down the hatches, put everything in place, keep it where it should be.
And I think for Clever-Eyed Isadora, it's probably similar of making sure that whatever sails or oars or anything that is used besides just the steering itself is where it needs to be and not making things worse.
All right. So we're off to a good start. I've rolled my dice as the strife player to determine how difficult this great challenge is. And I rolled a big old 3. So,
And I believe for the leadership challenge, it's the highest die?
Yes, the highest die determines who the leader is.
Okay, cool.
Who performs best. I'm going to say this is probably a contest of resolve and spirit. So, all you have to do is beat a 3. to not fail, and the best of you becomes the leader.
Nice.
Right. Well, I will face this contest. I, Iron-Minded Corinna, Scion of Hippocrates.
Flameheart to be table, of course, take your place in this contest.
Mm-hmm. As will Clever-Eyed Isadora.
Alright, so let's do it. So, this is our first roll of the game, and our target number is our target number 2 or 3?
3.
It's 3?
Yep.
Because in the leadership thing it says the strife player rolls 2d6 and keeps the highest die.
Oh, did I misread it?
It's only the leadership one, I think. I don't think it's anything else, so that's why. I
was sorry, you are correct. You just have to beat a 2.
Alright. Not a 20, a 2. epithet die. Does my epithet come into this being iron-minded? I think it does. I think being iron-minded definitely comes into this. This is Corinna being honored of Hephaestus, being one who's pulled towards the crafting of materials and towards the construction of things that's part of being iron-minded, not just strong-willed, but also knowledgeable about the things that can go wrong. No domain. Other dice. No. Let's just... So many things. Oh. Well, hey! That's an 11.
Iron-minded Corinna prevails!
Oh gosh, how will we beat that?
Well, good question.
Flameheart definitely comes into this pool as my passion and my strength is what I'm using here. Resolve and Spirit is a d6. My name die. No other domains. That is also an 11.
We're tied.
We are.
Nice. Okay, then I feel like Clever-Eyed can probably work for this, since it is very trying to be aware of things, I guess. What are words? No other domains. Nothing there. Nothing there.
Oh, what?
Did we just all three of us get 11s?
Do we have to do this again?
Yeah, what happens in the case of a three-way tie?
So I've been scrolling to try to figure out what to do in a tie.
We are all best.
We are all best at this.
Do we decide with rock, paper, scissors?
I think there is a tiebreaker protocol, but unfortunately I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
It's called Boulder Parchment Shears in ye olden times.
Of course. How silly of me.
Yonder olden times. To break a tie, each hero rolls their name die until a clear winner is established.
Alright, okay. There we go. Thank you, Saint.
Yeah. It's on page 30 under rewards, where it talks about gaining glory in a contest, which we will all gain glory in this contest. But all right, so all of our name die are d6, so let's just all roll d6s. I got a 3.
Oh, damn.
Ooh. Well, we know all who's right. Best.
Corey wins.
Best in show. Thank you. Where's my ribbon?
All right. I think what happens is, even though all three of you are still extremely useful in this, Cora, I think that what you did just helped to get the crew into safety just a little bit better than everybody else. A little bit, in a way that's a little bit more encouraging than the other two.
Of course.
Thus determining you as the leader.
Of course, seeing Arite in her minimal armor and her leopard skin mantle, striding up to grab the wheel and pull us all to safety, inflames their hearts.
All right.
And we're safe!
As the storm clears and the mist recedes, the gods reveal their desires through signs. Through the mist ahead, you see the silhouette of the peaks of Spera, bombarded by a shower of thunderbolts from the sky. And with the sailors helping trying to repair the ship, one's hammer slips from her hand, shattering a clay effigy of Zeus. As your vessel emerges from the mists, and you behold the burning peaks of Spera, you are suddenly assailed by a barrage of flying metal. Hundreds of harpoons pierce your ship and some of your crew, each trailing a glittering metallic cable, pulled taut to massive winches embedded in the mountainside. Your ship is seized from the waters and pulled at great speed up the mountain slope, drawn into a maw of whirling gears to be sundered to pieces. What do you do? How do you react to this?
I would like to find Archimedes.
Unfortunately, Archimedes is a little bit too busy playing with circles.
So, unfortunately, I think what we're doing here, since this is mechanics and gears, I think this is where a place where iron-minded Corinna has quite the forte, as someone who, again, is iron-minded towards constructions, and may have not made gears like this, but she's going to step forward, and she is going to look at all these gears and stuff, and try to find that weak point. Where is that weak point in this construction?
Alright, so you're going to try to free the vessel from the harpoons?
Yes.
Before it's, yes, completely destroyed and indeed. Pulled into this sundering maw?
Indeed, I am.
And you other two, are you two going to support with this, or are you going to try something as well?
I think in case our friend is not able to stop the gears, or at least free the ship from them, I would like to throw something into the gears to foul their rotation.
Okay. So you're going to do the same thing, basically. All right.
Yeah, I was also going to say more or less the same thing Corey did, trying to find some way to at least, like, block the gears or something. At least slow them down.
Alright, so the three of you rush into action to stop these harpoons from just completely destroying your ship.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a Blood and Valor versus the mechanisms. So, let me do my roll first. All right, a little bit of a harder challenge when you have to beat a 13.
Yeah.
That's a bet.
Indeed. Unfortunately, this is not my favorite domain of craft and reason, but I will try nonetheless. I will face this contest. I am iron-minded Corinna, scion of Hippocrates. I call upon the ingenuity of Hephaestus for this contest. I also never described what Corinna looks like, and I should do that now. Corinna, as we see her, as she goes to take this challenge to break these chains, as it were, she is a woman of sturdy form. She has pale eyes. It's like minimal. She has like armor, but it's very minimal. It's highly decorated, so lots of like gilded, like lots of leafing and gilding on it. There's probably one of like a shoulder pad that has some designs that would not look amiss on a mural. She has her bright spiky hair and a large ponytail. And she has this smoldering hammer in her hand that she's going to use to break these chains. And so, in terms of the roll, this is Blood and Valor, evidently. The target number is 13, which is high. Iron-minded, I said earlier that Iron-minded would come in here, and that's exactly what I'm going to use again.
Yep.
Let's see. Am I going to spend Pathos here? Yes, because I was talking about this. I am going to spend Pathos here so I can use Craft and Reason. And then any other things. Advantage, Bond Dice, or Support. I could call upon one of my bonds for y'all to bolster me, but I think what I'm going to do, I will try to do this myself. And then I am spending a Divine Favor. Ooh, not good enough. Not good enough.
An 11 does make you suffer.
Mm-hmm. So I will describe what happens after everybody else rolls.
All right. Well, then Flamehearted Arite will grab some. We probably have stone effigies or something on the ship. We have that broken one of Zeus.
Yeah.
I am going to take it. How large is it?
Not so large that you couldn't grab it. It's probably like the size of a bust.
Perfect. I will use it and I will throw it into the maw of the mountain with my flame-hearted epithet.
To be clear, all of you have to beat the 13.
Mm-hmm. Yes. My name die. Blood and Valor, which is a D8. And I think I will also spend a pathos to bring in resolve and reason. Resolve and spirit. Not a reason whatsoever. And did we get glory from the previous rule?
Yes, you are supposed to get the two glory.
Okay. And everyone else got one, if I remember correctly. If you don't win. Yeah. I'm not spending Divine Favor yet. Nope, I suffer as well. That is a 10.
Alright. That puts all of the hope on the shoulders of one person.
Oh no. Yes. Alright then. Since Saint described their character, I should probably do mine as well, honestly. Isadora, based on the style I decided during our character creation, has very wavy dark hair that's loosely pulled back, very slender. In addition to the clever-eyed epitaph, her eyes also have like very gentle quality to them. Dressed in minimal armor, accented with silver, and also carrying a bow that is also accented with silver. And so, on the note of that bow, she's going to, I think, attempt to shoot an arrow kind of into somewhere that might wedge the gears, slow them down, or get them to at least stop long enough for us to figure out another way out of this. So, Blood and Valor. Instead of this, target number 13. Clever-eyed, I do think, can work into this. I am going to spend a pathos to bring my resolve and spirit into this. Other dice. I am also going to maybe call on one of my god things, call on the position of Artemis. And does that go in the bonds and spirit, like other dice box on this input value thing? Or is there another section that it goes into? I don't remember.
There's a divine favor.
Okay, prompt. So that's the next one. Oh, so close.
Oh, no.
No, I was so close.
All right. unfortunately, the might was not good enough. Why don't you each go around and tell me how it is that you just overreached just a little bit or didn't quite succeed in what you were doing?
Corey, if you'd like to start, since you did roll the lowest.
I did roll the lowest. This is true. I think not only do I miss the maw of the mountain and the rest of the bust shatters on the mountainside, but there is probably a rumble of dissatisfaction in the sky as I have thrown even the broken bust of Zeus to try and save us. And in doing so, I've maybe caught displeasure. Is that enough, or do I have to harm myself in some way?
No, I think for now, with the, because this is just the first one, I'm not gonna harm any of you just yet.
Just yet, they say.
Just yet, because I have other things to do.
Of course you do.
Yeah, there are certain types of contests that harm us. It's gonna be
true.
Fun. I think for iron-minded Corinna, she just doesn't find the weak point wherever it is until it's too late, and so she has to strike too early, essentially. Strikes too early, finds out too late. And so her effort is not necessarily wasted, but it's not where it should be.
All right. And then I think for Isadora, it's a case of, especially since I was like only one below the target, it almost works, but the gears are just so strong that even like her best and divinely assisted shot is just, the material of the arrow is not strong enough to stop it. So it just breaks as soon as she's able to get in anywhere.
All right. So as your efforts just fail against these surprisingly well-made harpoons, unfortunately, what happens is more just seem to appear, overwhelming you completely. They crash into the ship. Most of your sailors perish, unfortunately, as they go through them or just knock into wood that shatters and sends them overboard into the current. Those of you who do survive, though, including the three heroes, get kind of pulled towards the maw as the harpoons just keep tearing away bit after bit of the ship. Until eventually there is no more there's realistically no more ship, leaving you stranded in the water as the current brings you all into this, onto the shore, a bit away from it, where you see these insectoid creatures kind of picking away at the debris, pulling apart what they've decided can be useful, and carrying it back on. They don't seem to have noticed that you all have even survived, that you aren't even quite sure if they care. A bit up the shore, you can also see what appears to be like tents, makeshift homes and all of that stuff, as well as smoke billowing out through the mountaintop. What do you decide to do now that you're back on shore?
Well, Corinna is going to check on the other sailors, see who is alive, see who is wounded, try to help them. She has an ancestor to make proud, after all.
good old Hippocrates would be proud of you for checking on them.
Yeah.
And those of those who did survive, they do seem to be in fine shape. A little beaten and bruised, but the thing that hurts the most is their pride.
Ah, just like us. I understand.
We sympathize.
Yep.
Well, if everyone's all right, and there's nothing more that can be done with them for them, I am going to start heading toward that cluster of tents and see where we have landed and what there is to be done here now that we're stranded.
All right. So all of you, I guess, because the leader has started heading off in that direction, the sailors do follow, and I imagine the other two of you do as well. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sure. As you move in closer to the tents, you realize that the people there are also dressed in garments similar to sailing garb. Some of them are wearing bits of armor that have like rusted over and stuff. Some of them are just wearing regular fisherman's clothes. But all of them were from the sea and have gotten trapped here. You imagine in a way similar to how you got trapped here. You do see one person who seems to be in priestly robes, with like slightly graying hair, going around and checking on everybody as much as they can. As they look up and see that more of you are arriving, some of them kind of like shake their head and walk away. Some seem to look at you with a sense of pity or sadness.
They're also stuck here on Shipwreck Island. So
apparently.
I think we must go speak with the priest. They probably know they probably know here what's going on the best. So, let's approach this priest. Do we know what they're a priest of?
Yes, you do. Especially you, given that they also seem to be wearing garbs very similar to yours.
Well then.
It's pretty easy to guess that this person's a priest of Hephaestus.
Interesting. Alright. Corinna will approach this priest and say, "Hail! Fellow..." What would I say? "Fellow faithful of Hephaestus. What goes here?"
"Hail to you as well. Well, I take it that you've been the latest victim of the Sunder and Maw." She like glances over your shoulder at the wreckage.
Indeed. A terror-inspiring name for sure.
Yes. My partner came up with it and he like shakes his head a little bit. Well, I guess former partner now. Well, I suppose you may as well make yourself at home. There's no getting off of here anymore. She, like, gives a bit of a forlorn expression.
There is not?
Any boat that tries to leave gets caught by the Maw.
So there is no sense in creating our own boat.
Not unless you have a way to shut that thing down.
It seems that that's what must be done, and if something must be done, we shall do it.
He gives an intrigued expression at that, as he's like, "You're not the usual sort who get trapped in these things, are you?"
"No, I am iron-minded Corinna, scion of Hippocrates, honored of Hephaestus."
He bows his head and he goes, "They call me Aranus, priest of Hephaestus, at your service."
Bow my head in response, because you should honor your priests, and say, "Do you know where the entrance to this dastardly machine might be?"
"Well, you can go in through the Maw, but I'm afraid that if you try to do that, it would be suicide with the machinery in there. Alternatively, there's also up there," and he kind of points to the top of the mountain. "If you go through that way, It should take you down towards where the drill is. My apologies. I should give you some context, please. And he kind of like pulls aside. It takes you towards like a campfire where there's like logs set out and everything for you to sit. As you're walking through, you see just groups of people trapped. Many of them look close to death, as though they've been here for a while and haven't been able to get any proper food, water, healthcare. Kind of like, you know, if Gulligan's Travels, Gulligan's Island was written properly.
You mean they don't have a professor here?
No, they don't.
Yes.
The real tragedy.
How do we survive without coconut radios?
I know. I imagine probably the same way that you survive without radios in general. But Arda sits you all down and explains. He says, well, I was probably the second person stranded here. The first was Casibius, the person who's built all of that. And, well, I'll be honest, we had a dream, he and I. We were going to use this drill to dig deeper. He kind of looks away, like, almost a little bit ashamed, or as if he's not quite sure how much he can tell you. He goes, Casibius wanted to free Kronos, and...
The Titan?
Yes.
Why?
He never quite explained. Something about a vengeance against the gods.
A fool's endeavor, if nothing else.
As you say that, Arados kind of, like, looks away, ashamed almost. He finally opened his mouth and goes, I had helped him build the drill. He couldn't have done it alone. And I thought that it was a noble cause until he explained exactly what he wanted. And I fear that he is beyond help now.
Well, you and your people have been punished enough. We have been sent here by the gods, clearly, to deliver you all from this terrible place.
Yes, sent by the gods. As he kind of like... He does that thing when somebody like wants to ask a favor, but they aren't sure how to phrase it, so he's kind of like opening his mouth and closing it back again a few times before he finally just goes, I can just ask one thing.
If ask away, friend.
You manage to make it to the drill. Don't break it or turn it off. Just change its path.
How else would you disable it?
Well, there are many ways to disable machinery.
Yes, but what would be the purpose of changing its path? You want to just send this towards something or someone else?
Someone else, yes. Someone who was put in Tartarus unfairly.
Oh? Name this individual.
He just looks down at the fire.
Is that noble Titan not in the mountains?
The mountains can exist in multiple places. I've heard that this path that Casibius has found can take anyone to any location in Tartarus, including where he is chained up.
You still wish to release him?
Prometheus did nothing wrong.
Oh. I see what you mean.
I think this has put Corinna into some deep thought. Because, yes, there is merit to to what he says. But also, we are honored of the gods, and if we free someone that the gods believe they justly put into punishment, how does that reflect on us?
Two of us are also children of gods.
I mean, demigods do a lot of wild things.
I mean, they do, but still, it's
and a little Luzardi's bit tricky. He's shown his displeasure by striking the island with lightning.
Yes.
I do not believe the King of the Gods would appreciate having Prometheus freed.
I think Corinna speaks up again. This seems to be quite the ask, which is why I understand why you were hesitant. However, I think for us, as those honored by the gods, no matter our opinion on Prometheus's perceived guilt, can really allow him to be unchained.
We would not be here if not for him. He did everything for humanity. I think it is the least we owe him. Hell, Hades, would you not have would you have forges if not for Hephaestus? He looks like at you, Corinna, specifically.
You make good points. I must think on this, but regardless, as much as we can talk about this, Casibios must be stopped.
Yes. For if not for the gods, then he kind of like looks around at the people there who look a little bit worse for wear.
Yes. Do you not have much in the way of food here?
Only what the island provides.
Which does not appear to be much.
What of those creatures we saw on the beach? Did they not take many of our foodstuffs with them when they left? Perhaps you could speak with them, or...
The insects?
Yes.
Those were created by Casibios to further his own inventions, unfortunately.
They invented people.
Sorry, to be clear, these aren't people. They're like insect-driven clockwork mechanisms.
That doesn't mean that they're not people.
They're robots!
We can
Robots can be people, too.
We can discuss the morality of possibly sentient insectoid clockwork machines in a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, Aranis is a little bit confused by what you're saying. He's like, no, they act as security dogs, if you will. They just attack if anybody gets within range. They don't think for themselves, only for Casibios' will.
Then why did they take things from the shipwreck?
To help build the drill.
Is the drill not already built?
I imagine it requires fuel and requires maintenance, and both those things are provided by what is caught in the maw, and is that correct?
He gestures to you to be like, your friend is spot on.
Bah. I'll never understand these mechanical things.
It's very simple, really. As he begins to open his mouth to explain, and then he's like, you're not actually asking for me to explain, and he quickly stops.
Well, it sounds like there is not much time to lose, but Arite, you are the best among us. What should be done?
Well, we must go to this grill and destroy it, I believe. Make it so it cannot finish its dastardly deed. And in doing so, free these people from being stuck here.
Well, let's make it so,
Aranis is, like, white-knuckled at that comment.
I understand your desire to help honored Prometheus, but it is not yet the will of the gods that he be free.
I imagine the gods have spoken to you as recently as they've spoken to me, and he just gets up and walks off.
Very like, yes. And once these people are freed from this island, we will have a party such as never been seen here.
Hopefully with some actually decent food.
And some wine, now.
This is all Shall we supposition. Begin? We should continue on our task. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Should we try to find the person who built this in the first place, or...?
I believe he is no longer on in the land of the living, is that correct?
No. He must be with the drill, I imagine.
It sounded like he's still on the island somewhere.
Yes. Somewhere. But we have to get there, and we must locate him. And I'm sure that they will not make it easy for us.
Likely not. Well, friend, which direction is the drill again?
Oh, Aridus already walked off.
Oh, he did? Okay. Rip.
Yeah. Just follow then I the guess sounds of the drill.
Just go inside. Yeah, into the forest.
So you kind of turn and you're like, so, friend, which way is the drill again? And you just realize you're talking to the air.
Mm-hmm.
As you all head off. Thank you for listening to the first ever official episode of Just Roll With It, and to the first part of our game of Aegon, a tabletop role-playing game by John Harper. Music by Aider41 from Pixabay. This was honestly an amazing and fun experience, and all of us here hope it was as enjoyable for you as it was for us. Thank you to SaintGuard for playing with us, and you can find them at SaintGuard on Twitter, Twitch, Patreon, and SaintGuardLee on Instagram to see them do some amazing work in the game design and voice acting spheres. You can find us at RollWithItAP on Twitter, Instagram, and Blogspot, where we'll post updates about the podcast and transcriptions of the episode for accessibility purposes. You can find me, Peter, at PR Cargill on Twitter and Patreon. You can find Corey at InvulnerableTide on Twitter and TheInvulnerableTide on Instagram. And you can find Kelsey at IslanderScaper on Twitter and Instagram. All these links will be in the description box for your ease. And on behalf of the entire Just Roll With It team, we hope that you come back next time for another adventure through the island of Spera to see how our intrepid adventurers survive the Sundering Maw.